Well, my own story, I suppose, began 1980, whenever I became a police officer. My passion was always road safety from that very early stage in my career. Pursued that and joined at that time, I suppose it was known as Traffic Branch, Roads Policing perhaps now. And I followed that through from patrol in police vehicles then through to, I suppose, going into road education, and that was connected with road policing as well. Road education took me into all manners of age groups, from the very youngest in preschool right through to young people in schools, high schools, through to young drivers, and I suppose at the other end of the scale, the elderly folk, corporate training and also training from our own perspective, in-house training through the police college, ambulance training and fire brigade training as well.
1980?
Yes, that was my very earliest, I suppose, introduction into it.
Wow. Troubled times.
Yes, yes.
Difficult times.
Say difficult times.
So you're one
yes.
of the first phone calls. Once there's been a serious incident, accident, troubles related, not troubles related, you were one of the first phone calls.
In the early days, I suppose, no. I mean, I went into Family Liaison Officer, or FLO as we affectionately know it, much later in my career. In the early days, really, there was no such thing as family liaison officers. A police officer would go to the scene of a road crash, a serious road crash, a fatal road crash, establish who the victim of that was, and then have to make the journey themselves to the family home. And bearing in mind, that's not for every police officer. And this was something that we could see there was a problem with, that not every police officer, I suppose it's not really having the knack of knocking a door and delivering that message, because believe me when I tell you, there is none of us and there is no one that's going to find that easy to do. But perhaps some people just find it that little bit easier and can bring that little bit more compassion to it.
I know what you're saying, Tracy. The culture of policing has changed with regard to so many aspects of serious crime here, you know, liaison with sexual attack and sexual violence, the kind of thing we're talking about today. And it's almost like you conjure up that old stereotype of the big, tall policeman knocking at the door and the windows all twitching, you know, the police are at McLaughlin's door. And it was always a harbinger of some kind of bad news. And things have moved on dramatically in your time.
Absolutely. Things have moved on and moved on for the better. And as you say, there are so many other things out there, bad news stories, etc. And the one thing that people do sometimes forget is that, you know, people are dying on our roads too. And that is absolutely ultimate at the moment. Last year on our road, 74 people lost their lives as a result of road death. And as I often say to young people when I do go into schools, they look at those figures, they see a 7 and they see a 4 in front of them. And really, unless they perhaps know someone connected with that family or one of those families, it really means nothing to them. They turn the page. But for the families of those victims, they can never turn the page again.
And 10 fatalities so far this year.
Absolutely.
But year on year, Tracy, encouragingly, if I can put it like that, mindful of families who've lost loved ones, year on year, broadly speaking, that number comes down. We're losing less and less people on our roads. And people maybe become complacent when they hear that.
Yes, of course they do. And why are we bringing our figures down year on year? I believe one of the reasons is that we have fantastic in-car safety nowadays. Years ago, when figures were through the roof, we didn't have compulsory seatbelt wearing. We didn't have airbags. We didn't have side impact bars. Now we do have that. We also have a lot more congestion of traffic on our roads, which in urban areas keep the speeds of traffic down. So that, again, helps towards that. But people do become complacent with road death. But unless you've been directly affected with it, it really isn't that important to you. It's not that real, and it should be.
You're not policing anymore, of course. You're working in the private sector. But through those years of policing, coming out of our troubles, I mean, I'm sure many of the incidents were troubles related, joyriding related. I mean, we still have our so-called joyriders. Some people want the term readdressed as death drivers or whatever you want to call it. Do you ever get used to knocking that door? In your mind's eye, looking back at those families for whom you were the port of call with the news, your loved one has died, your niece has passed on, there's been a serious incident, can we sit down and chat? Did you ever find yourself normalising the knocking of those doors year on year, Tracy?
No. You never get used to it. It's the most difficult thing that you can ever imagine doing. From the very first road fatality that I ever went to as a young patrolling police officer, I can still see the face of that gentleman in that car. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget any of the victims that I've seen over the years. I'll never forget the families. Because as I often say to young people, when you go to the scene of a road crash, the victim at that road crash very quickly becomes a statistic, and that's just the reality of it. The true victims then become the families, and that's the hardest part to deal with. To go to someone's front door, and you can't train anyone to do this. There's no possible training to do it. We can tell police officers how they should do it, but when they get to that door, they're going to face a family. That family is going to be different from the last family they faced, from the next family they're going to face. Mm. And this is where compassion comes in. Being a mother myself, having my own girls at home, quite often when I went to a family home, I looked at the heartbreak in mother's eyes and father's eyes, fathers dropping to their knees on the floor, mothers wailing at the news that you were bringing them. And I thought, how could I deal with that if someone came to my door?
You can still see the family faces.
I can see every family face.
You can still see the victims on the road.
Yes.
People, you know, psychologically trained would say that that's the stuff of trauma, that even doing your job to the very best of your ability, Tracy, has created a psychology for you which is fundamentally traumatic.
Yes, absolutely. And in some ways, I have learned to deal with that. But having said that, when I became a family liaison officer and I was trained, I can remember the gentleman who trained us said, you know, you have about an 18-month burnout period. And I thought, what exactly does he mean by that? I've gone through many things in my life and in my job and, you know, doing this isn't really going to be much different.
How long were you policing it? How long were you policing it?
How long was I policing?
As the person at the front door, in terms of your formal job as a family liaison officer, how many years were you knocking those doors?
Oh my goodness, I did that for about 7-8 years, and of course many years before that I did it, but not as a family liaison officer. Before family liaison officers came in, I was doing it as a police officer on the ground.
So if that previous statistic was right, you're burnt out 5 times over.
Absolutely. But having said that, there is help there. You're told very early in your family liaison officer career that as soon as you go to a serious incident or a fatality or a double, triple fatality, then you seek counselling. But that's, I suppose, thankfully, that is something that has come to the good, that we now live in times where we're not ashamed to do that. Years ago, it was a case of you dusted yourself down and you said, you know, let's just get on with it. And that was wrong. Now we can seek help. And I did seek help on many occasions. Mm-hmm. And I did hit burnout. Believe me, I did hit that burnout. I removed myself from it for a short period of time. And then I went back into it again. And ironically, the very first case that I dealt with when I went back in was a 2-year-old child.
Goodness me. Are there certain family situations that, without in any way compromising their circumstances on a radio programme, Tracy, are there certain stories down all of those years that still stand out to you in your mind's eye?
Oh, yes, very, very much so. One in particular comes to mind was a young girl who was knocked down and killed, who's exactly the same age as my own daughter. I received many calls from her mother during my time dealing with the family. And bearing in mind, you stay with the family as long as they need you. So you could be there 2 weeks, you could be there 6 weeks.
What do you do?
You could be there a year.
Drink tea or what do you
no,
do?
No, well, you do. You drink tea with them if they want you to do that. You're there to support the family. Ultimately, you're there to liaise between the police officer investigating and the family themselves. But that particular situation was difficult because the mother would ring me at night time. She would ring me at all ends and hours of the day just to say how she didn't feel she could go through another day without her daughter by her side. And I can remember thinking, how do I tell this woman that it's going to get better, that it's going to get easier? Because I looked across on one particular morning, she phoned me, I was still in bed, I hadn't got up that morning. And I looked across the room and I could see the photograph of my own daughter sitting in her little school photograph in her school uniform, same age as this lady's daughter who had died. And I thought, if it was my daughter, I would say probably just open the ground a little bit wider and throw me in.
Goodness.
So, you know, that was my take on it.
Maybe
that was
it
my
get better.
Thing at the time.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe these families are scarred for life.
They are scarred for life. They can learn to move on. And life is such that we do move on. Many families, of course, and you've probably seen some of the ads on television, use it to the benefit of others to try and get the road safety message across. That's what hopefully people can do to help themselves in some situations. Some can't. Some just find themselves in an area that they really never come out of.
I imagine it's not dissimilar, Tracy, from people, you know, medical people or people working, you know, with people who are facing horrible circumstances in life, maybe chronic alcoholism or whatever. Can doing what you did for all those years rob one of one's joy, of one's optimism? Can you get... You talked about burnout, but I'm just thinking, when you see so much sadness, you could be forgiven for seeing nothing good in life.
Yes, and I can understand what you're saying there. I suppose, I mean, I've had a very good life. I've enjoyed life to the full. On many occasions, I haven't been able to put it behind me, and that has been difficult.
There's
no doubt. Yeah, even now. However, I'm passionate about it. I absolutely love what I do. Set me in front of an audience of 200 young boys, young girls of 17, 18, just about to embark on their driving career, and let me do my presentation to them. Mm-hmm. And then when I look at the faces of that audience and I think, I've done something right here, I've done something good, I've made a difference.
And yet those young women might be driving this weekend or next year, they may be asked to join the boys in the cars in these next couple of years. And the cold statistics of a presentation in the like of Thornhill this afternoon, Tracy, is one thing. But life gets exciting when you cast off the uniform and you put on the glad rags for the weekend. And maybe the two sides of that don't marry up in life. Ah, well, there was that woman in school, but Johnny's going to the pub tonight and we're heading to the dance tonight and jeepers, he's an exciting driver, or the girls are all getting together in the wee Ford Fiesta. And you know all about that. You know that that's how the tragedies can happen.
Absolutely.
And so what can you say to the girls of Thornhill that will absolutely ingrain itself on their minds?
Well, the basis of the presentation is to take themselves out of the equation, because as I said to you earlier, Mark, the person who dies at the scene is very quickly a statistic. So I take them down the road of looking at their families, and I take them down the road of going to the scene of a road traffic collision, a fatal road traffic collision. In other words, I call it the long journey. It's my journey. It's the journey that I would have made so many times. I take them down that journey, what it's like to go to that scene, and then what it's like to actually go to the family home. The reason we call that the long journey is because even if that young person who has died only lives half a mile down the road or 10 miles down the road, that is the longest journey that someone who has to deliver that death message will ever make. There's no conversation in the car. What can you possibly talk about when you know what you've got to do at the end of it? I take them down the journey of knowing what it's like to sit in that car and look up at the front door. In my mind, for me to see a solid front door is almost, it's almost a lift for me, because I know that when I knock that solid front door, I just have to wait. But when I see glass panels on a front door, that is the worst thing that I can possibly see, because I can then see a mother coming down that hallway when I knock it. Sometimes she's laughing, looking back into the living room, shouting back to her friends to pause the video. I can see fathers maybe shouting back to hold the rugby match, not to drink his beer. And I know that in those few seconds as they walk down that hall, life for them is so normal. And once they open that door to me, I'm going to destroy their lives for the rest of their lives. And that's what I want young people, when they're listening to the presentation, to understand, that they're out of the equation. But would they want to bring this mess into their family home?